So we keep today at all three of the Masses the feast of our patron, St. James the Apostle. His feast day actually fell this past Wednesday. He's called the Great to distinguish him from the other James, who is called, as you might guess, the Less. So the broad outlines of his story, you know, he was called by our Lord at the Sea of Galilee together with his brother John, sons of Zebedee. They are said to have followed Jesus immediately, leaving their boat, leaving their father. We know that James, along with his brother, is one of the inmost band of the disciples who accompanied Jesus at special times during his ministry. He's at Simon Peter's house, for instance, when Jesus raises Peter's mother-in-law to new health after a fever. When Jesus appoints the 12 to be with him, in some lists, James is second to Peter. James is one of the three apostles whom our Lord allows to go with him to the house of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, where Jesus raises a 12-year-old girl to new life. The next Sunday, when we keep the eve of the Transfiguration, it is James who is among those present who see the vision of God's glory and hear the command to heed God's Son. Jesus gave James and John a nickname, Boanerges, or Sons of Thunder, perhaps suggesting that their personality was burning, impetuous, and outspoken, the sort of straightforwardness that we might expect from a true Israelite. Remember that it was in the Gospel where James and John wanted to call down fire on an intransigent Samaritan village, and Jesus had to sort of calm their fundamentalist impulses down a little bit. One tradition has it that James traveled as far as Spain, where he established a Christian church in that land. That's one tradition. We do know that sometime around the year 44, James was martyred by King Herod Agrippa, as we just heard in Acts. And another tradition has it that James' remains were taken to Spain, where they lie to this day in the great cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. Compostela comes from the Latin campus stellarum, meaning field of stars. And it is a place where many, many Christians still make a pilgrimage to this very day. The presence of James' relics in Spain was credited with helping hustle the Muslim Moors out of that country. And he was given the title Matamoros, or St. James the Moor Slayer. And there's a depiction of that on the front page of your bulletin today. Now, there's always a great temptation for us to forget that the saints are people just like you and me. They are men, women, old, young, clergy, lay, black, white, learned, simple. And we sometimes also forget that we too are destined to be saints, to be God's holy ones who dwell with him forever. But the difference between us and the saints is found in the fact that we look at the saints and we say, how wonderful they are. But the saints look at God and say, what a sinner I am. We see how far the saints have progressed relative to the rest of us. They see how far they still are from being fully conformed to the image of Christ. And James did have his faults. In Matthew's Gospel, you just heard that the mother of James and John goes and makes a request of Jesus. In Mark's Gospel, it is James and John themselves who go and make the request. But we can reasonably infer that they put their mother up to it. Mom, you go ask. Now, we might think in the case of James, that this special closeness to Jesus, along with the strong clues that Jesus has already given them in his ministry, they might have had a clue about what it was that Jesus was calling them to do and be. But instead, they sort of flunked the test completely. They want to be top dogs, sitting at either side of Jesus in glory. And they see glory in terms of light and power and majesty and authority. And that's why the other 10 are so indignant at them. But our Lord reveals to them that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And he holds out to James and John the promise that yes, indeed, they will drink the cup that he drinks. And yes, indeed, they will be baptized with the baptism that he undergoes. For that cup is the cup of Gethsemane, and that baptism is the deep waters of his death. But to sit at his right hand and on his left in glory is for those for whom it has been prepared by the Father. It occurs to me that another instance we have of the mention of right hand and left hand is the two bandits who are crucified with Jesus, one at his right hand and one at his left. And the meaning here is clear. The glory of God is seen in the cross. The glory is as Jesus places himself wholly into his Father's hands. That is when he is truly in his glory. It comes not in terms of light or majesty or power or authority, but in suffering, where Jesus' glory is manifest. And it is in that same glory that Jesus and you and me and James are called to share. It also occurs to me that sometimes, like James, you and I are rash, sometimes impetuous, oftentimes, we are all too ready to put ourselves before the kingdom. Like James, we are walking wounded. And yet, like St. James, we make our pilgrimage by grace. Sir Walter Raleigh wrote a pilgrim's prayer for those traveling to Compostela. And it might be a good prayer for us as we travel towards our own heavenly field of stars. And it goes like this. Lord, give me my scallop shell of quiet, my staff of faith to walk upon, my scrip of joy, immortal diet, my bottle of salvation, my crown of glory, hope's true gauge, and having all this, I'll take my pilgrimage. St. James, apostle and martyr, pray for us now and always.